going to whisper some things to you now about Crunch chocolate bars. Because apparently this whispering thing is a thing that makes you feel things. It's saying something crunchy is coming in the candy wrapper language. Imagine your tongue hiking up those crispy, rocky ridges. Now, drum roll, please.
Wow, that's good. Crunchy, munchy chocolate doesn't whisper.
Turn up the fun with Crunch.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hey, everybody, and welcome to the Bachelorette Wrap Up. I'm Amy, here as always with the lovely Haley Strong. Haley, how are you doing tonight?
I am here.
You made it. Unlike Tayshia, you have arrived. Should I just leave you to handle the rest of the show?
You know what? I think you could. I don't know how good it will be, though.
Well, we just need, I regret that we didn't like send a new graphic in with like candy canes and a Santa hat on our logo. I think that would just, you know, really fit the holiday vibe of this finale.
Yeah. Should we like do some interstitials between segments from like classic Christmas movies?
Right. Yeah. How many did they do? Because I like saw two and I was like, I must have missed another one because...
I saw three.
Okay.
One was the Love Actually Signs.
Yep, I saw that
one. One was the Home Alone Scream.
Okay,
and then the other
one
was the
Christmas Story.
The Christmas Story Pollock.
Okay. Yeah, because I was watching, you know, like a recording. So, you know, if I just fast forward, I'm not going to see necessarily like something right after commercial. So,
oh, I would have loved to have fast forwarded, but for, the DVR didn't actually record the After the Final Rose because it was called The Bachelorette After the Final Rose. So my DVR wasn't like, yes, let's pick this up.
Right.
So we could like do the replay of it, but that meant we couldn't fast forward through the commercials.
Mm. All right. So yeah, they got you there. You saw them all. Yeah. Do you think they were just like, well, this falls on Christmas week, so we have to do something?
I guess so. Like, when did it end last year? Not this late, right?
No, not this late.
Was it just a shorter season? Is that why? Like what happened? Like what happened?
Yeah,
or did they start? You know what? I think they started airing earlier, maybe.
Yes, because this was like the second one in the year. So it was later, like not when it typically would be. Like we don't normally have one at all at this time of year. So I guess they're like, let's just go all out.
Yeah, but Tayshia and Claire's season, like it didn't end this late, right?
Right.
I don't know. Anyway.
Yeah, I don't remember. Maybe it was early December or something.
Yeah, I feel like it was probably like a week earlier.
Yeah. But before we get into this finale, we have some Bachelor Nation news. Not something I guess we maybe talked about this couple dating, but I don't know if an engagement was on our radar.
Definitely not.
So, Hannah Brown's brother is now engaged to Haley Stevens, who Jed was dating while he was filming The Bachelorette, Hannah's season.
So. Oh my God, what a yike.
Yeah.
I mean, happy for them. I hope it's love and they last forever. And I hope Hannah's cool with the situation. I mean, like, you can't be mad at Hannah. She can't be mad at Hannah or Haley, right?
Well, if I was Hannah, I'd probably be like, wait, you're still in my life.
You know, yeah, what I mean? Like, true.
Oh, I can't escape this like bad chapter in my life. But yeah, it's not like Haley isn't the one who was on the show, like misleading her, not disclosing that
Yeah.
She was in a relationship, but I guess she knew that Jed was on the show.
That's true. Yeah, that's a great point.
So, and then I was looking at old articles, and it seems like her brother started following Haley, like, right after Hannah's season stopped filming. So maybe that's when, like, Jed let her know about something, or somebody was contacting someone. So they definitely were, you know, he was maybe getting the information for Hannah. Like, it's just a weird way to, like,
so
form
weird.
A relationship. So,
yeah.
Yes. And then Jed made some statement on his stories, like, does Patrick, that's the brother's name, does Patrick know he's engaged? So.
Is that like a shot at him having like a not great past with substances? Because if that is a low blow.
That'd be low. The way I didn't really get it at first either, but the way I was reading it was that it's like,
she thought
he was in a relationship with her, and he denied that they were in a relationship. Like, oh, does she just say they're engaged?
That's
either way.
Yeah, just leave it alone. Like, you're happy in another relationship. Like, let's just let this one go.
Yeah. Yeah. And so the other things that people are noticing is that Hannah does not follow, like, they don't follow each other, Hannah and Haley. So, I mean, I guess you don't have to be buddy buddy with your siblings. Significant other, but
yeah, but you should probably still follow them on Instagram.
It seemed like she was pretty tight with her brother, so
yeah. And it's not like this is like her following one person is going to throw off her like follower to followee ratio.
Yeah, maybe if people didn't know that she was dating her brother, would be like, wait, why is she following her?
You know, maybe.
Hey, they have a common enemy, right?
Yeah, exactly. So,
yeah, we'll see what happens with that. But Hannah's also a New York Times bestseller, so things are going well in other areas of her life. If
she's yeah, I don't believe news. That.
No.
Well, like, isn't there like a thing where it's just the publishers buy a bunch of the books and be like, oh, it's a bestseller? It's like,
oh, yeah, maybe.
I don't think so. Like, I wonder who Hannah's ghostwriter is. Are you going to read Bless This Mess or whatever it's called?
I might just look for it to show up in like a free lending library near me.
Yeah.
I saw Colton Underwood's book show up there.
Oh my God.
Yeah, that one doesn't interest me, but yeah, we'll see. Yeah, I feel like we get all like the major stories leaked that, you know, any tea that she divulges. I feel like we'll find out. So why read it?
Yeah. I feel like there's nothing we're really missing from this.
Mm-hmm. All right. So I think that was the major story of the week. So let's just dive into this finale. So as we mentioned up top, Caitlin was handling this live after the final rose and kind of the live, I don't know, watch party, I guess you'd call it.
Yeah.
For the finale on her own. Tayshia had a COVID exposure and she's in New York, which is like a hotbed right now with Omicron. And so out of an abundance of caution, Tayshia was not brought out to set. And I thought, you know, I was disappointed not to see Tayshia, but I thought Caitlin did really well, like better than I would have like expected anyone to do on their own.
Yeah, I think her strength really lies in these live shows. It really gives her a chance to kind of like, you know, follow the script, but go off the cuff a little bit. I thought she did a really great job.
Mm-hmm. And she did just get done doing like her own podcast tour. So I think that probably definitely helped, you know, kind of iron out the kinks. Like, okay, I'm can be comfortable on stage and. And also, I don't know, it's always been kind of awkward to have the two people. So I think this role fits better in this kind of show with one person kind of taking charge. Not that I think it should be Caitlin over Tayshia, but I think it's maybe, I don't know, like you have the helmet, you're driving the ship and you just sort of like go on adrenaline. So there was... something kind of unexpected where they had a live change to the audience during
that
the show.
That was weird, right? And yeah. Like, why? No, like, I get why. Please. Yeah. So, yeah, like, I thought I was losing it.
Right.
It was that first shot. Nobody was in masks, but
I remember.
Yeah. And then, but I remember seeing pictures of people with masks, like, online, because they didn't watch the episode live. And I remember thinking, like, oh, good for them. Like, that's a good idea. Yeah. But they, like, did the change halfway through and they're like, everyone's wearing masks. And it's like, what happened? Was it live and people were commenting on it? And
yeah, that's apparently what happened. Like, there were some tweets like, this is going to be a super spreader event. Like, why is no one masked? And it was not just like I think Kristen Baldwin from EW. So I think got picked up by some of the bigger like Bachelor Twitter people, you know? Yeah. And so like journalists. So yeah, Caitlin like made a comment, like, bringing it in, like, we've seen your feedback and, you know, that everyone has been tested coming here, but we, you know, are responding to feedback and everyone's wearing masks going forward. So I guess they had to wear masks going in, but took them off, like, when it was, like, live, and then they had to put them back on or something. So.
So weird.
Yeah, why not just.
So you just leave them up, put them on.
Yeah.
It's not that hard.
Right. So. Yeah, and they all had, like, the same ones. It was, like, a sleek, you know, didn't interrupt flow at all. Like, a good aesthetic. Everyone had black masks, so.
No patterns, you know.
Yeah, exactly. Nothing distracting. So, yeah, I don't know if they were just trying to make it look a little more like holiday cheer. So, with their holiday vibe, but.
Like, I'm still, like, and I know this isn't, like, a new thought or anything, or, you know, it's been on Twitter, but it's, like, I'm having a hard time watching, like, movies and old shows. Like, I've been watching Selling Sunset lately, and it's just like anytime they go anywhere in a restaurant or like I see a server and they're not wearing a mask, I'm like, what's happening?
Right. Yeah. It definitely takes you out of it. And like, that's been a thing with like some other shows where you're like, I'd rather just watch it with them. Yeah. I want to know the protocols otherwise. And yeah. So, we get back to Mexico and it is time for Brandon and Nate to meet the parents. And this was like my classic one parent visit goes really well, one doesn't. I always love that. So
it almost felt like unfair to Nate. Yeah. Like, Brandon had a home field advantage. Like, they already loved him.
Yeah. But I mean, that happened with, I'm trying to think back. Nick Viall's season, like the parents had met Raven, right?
Oh, I guess so.
So, yeah, I don't know if it like, yeah, it was unfair, but maybe that was like intentional as well. Like, let's give like somebody like a leg up if they kind of already knew that Brandon was like, oh, he's going the distance. So, yeah, but I just. I don't know. It's hard for me to like recap right now knowing like the result because I was like, oh, I was so excited for Brandon. He was like, he just loves her family and they love him. And like, I don't know. It was like emotional. Like they were like, oh, I hope it's you.
I haven't
seen something that strong before.
Yeah. It felt like a very different family visit. Like, I feel like we've never really seen one like this before, and it was super sweet and like lovely. But again, like, I knew what the outcome was going to be because I didn't watch it live, and it was just kind of like, oh, poor Brandon. And like, like his mom was, or her mom was obsessed with him and was like, I hope it's you, and like gave him so many cheek kisses and all this stuff. It was like, oh, honey.
Right. Like, she's already like, her son, and like the dad was like, we would adopt you into the family, and if she were to choose you. And I think it was the her dad who like picked up on, like, I guess the contrast with Nate is like he picked up like Brandon's warmth, and the mom says she really goes off of a feeling. So yeah, I think Brandon coming in already having met them, it was like, oh, great to see you again, and you're just gonna have like, you're not coming in like automatically like trying to scope out who he is because you already had like those good conversations, and it's like, oh, I'm excited to see you again.
Yeah, for sure.
And then, oh, we had her sister there. We didn't get a lot of scenes with her sister.
And I feel like we didn't actually like get an intro to her.
No. So,
and like, are they close? And like, you know, is she somebody she goes to for advice?
Mm-hmm. Right. We didn't get like a lot of the like parents or sibling talking with Michelle, I feel like. Mm-hmm. And then Brandon also had a gift for the dad. What did you think of that move?
That was pretty funny. Mm-hmm. I got to say, I think it was a good move. You know, nice throwback of being like, hey, see, we're friends. We're buds.
Yeah. Yeah. Probably don't want to wear those swim trunks again. And hey, it's something you can buy probably at any resort you might be staying at.
Exactly. So yeah.
And then. Let's see. Yeah, I don't really know much more than that. It just was like. Went so
I feel
well.
Like it went by fast.
Yeah, I think it went really fast. And then did we see Brandon's night portion after this, or did we go like alternate between the two?
No, we did see the night port.
Okay.
Wait. No, there was no night portion.
Was it just like a little bit more? Because when was she?
No, because then they did the second parent meet. So they did Nate's parent meet. Then they did the last date for both of them.
Okay. Because I think in the past they've done like parent meet is like followed up by
like a night
that,
date.
That evening date. Yeah. So, well, they also did ask, you know, the where would you live? And Brandon is like, for sure, like, I'd move to Minnesota, no problem. He like works remotely. So, like, the mom is like, check. Like, she has her little, like, hey, you check this off the list. So, very cute. And with Nate's, we get that question as well. And this was, I think, the first time we ever saw an answer to this. And he didn't really have a good answer. Like, he wasn't really sure. It was sort of like, oh, yeah, like, I'm up for adventure. I've moved a lot, so I'd move to Minnesota.
Yeah, it's like, okay, what does that mean? Like, is that a long term? Like, are you willing to do it right away? Like, what's your deal?
Mm-hmm. Or, you know, maybe she'd come with me. And then we see the dad in his ITM being like, you know, I know Michelle wants to live at home. And he did tell it to Nate, too. Like, okay, like, she has, you know, she wants has her goals that she wants here. And she wants to be in Minnesota. So, yeah, at least at that point, which I think is a fair, because how would Nate know at that point where he wanted to go? You know, he spent
like
a few weeks in a hotel in downtown Minneapolis in the middle of summer, but yeah, it's not really going to know the logistics. I did like that. We did see one scene with her sister, with Nate, when he made that line and she's like, yeah, adventures are great, but you know, what about like just settling down and being happy in one place? So it was like, oh, I haven't really thought about that, you know. So at least she raised that, but I would have liked to see that brought up to Michelle. Like, I'm sure it was, but just maybe because her mom had some other doubts about him, that's what we were shown. But yeah, the parents just seemed like they didn't warm to Nate as much. But I think Nate seemed nervous. What do you think?
Oh, Nate seemed very nervous. And I just don't think I think Nate's more of a slow burn.
Mm-hmm.
And obviously now we see the like the after the final rose and like they adore Nate and they're so thrilled and they get along with his parents and it's all like hunky dory. But I think he takes a bit to warm up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I think kind of his maybe like. Like the way he handles maybe stress or an uncomfortable situation is kind of just sort of laugh it off. Or, you know, we saw with that shaman date too. He was just like, oh, did I do enough? Am I doing this right? And kind of with the parents, it's like, seemed to get caught on his words or just sort of like, no, I'm like, yeah, I'm good. Like everything's good, but not really like adding that extra layer of reassurance that the parents might need. So
for sure.
So then we see Michelle's mom, LaVon, bring it up to Michelle where she doesn't feel that he's ready. And actually she told it to Nate too. Like, I'm not really sure, like, if you're like, you'd be ready for engagement. And then she mentions that to Michelle and yeah, this kind of sends her a little bit, you know, obviously very upset by that.
Yeah. So what did you think about her mom saying that?
Well, I always like when they actually, you know, take a stance, but instead of just saying like, oh, either way, like, I'll trust you, even though that's probably the healthier thing to do. Like for mm-hmm. a show wise, I like watching and seeing that there is that conflict. Now, looking back at how things went, I wonder if that was like coached on her mom to say as well, like,
yeah,
raise your any concerns you might have, like, or like, see if you think you would be. But yeah, I think it's fair to like just say, this is what I observed. Like, you know, he might not be proposing to you at the end of this, where I can feel for sure that Brandon would be.
Yeah. And but, like, happy to provide. And like, I feel like she did it in a way that wasn't like, you shouldn't be picking like Nate. It's right. just like, this is my opinion. And if you agree, super, that's just like what I'm seeing.
Yeah. But I mean, what it all comes down to is, okay, this one guy could be ready to propose, and you know, like, you'll for sure get a proposal at the end of it. But if that's mm-hmm. not your guy, if that's not like who you're feeling more than yeah. the other one, it's going to be like, okay, well, I'd rather like go forward with Nate, and maybe he doesn't propose, but we'll still be together or something.
Yeah.
Yeah. It seemed like Nate's lesson out of this was that throughout this, these last dates, is that he had to like think about that he could be heartbroken, and he had to express that to Michelle. Yes. Cause it was like,
yes,
all this time I've been trying not to think about it. And the mom, I think it was the mom who brought it up. Like, well, what if it's not you? That could be. And it was like the first time he actually like went there. Although I thought during the fantasy suite dates that he kind of went there, but maybe it was like short lived. Like he
yeah
had a great date and was like, okay, I'm over that. It's going to be me. And, you know, didn't worry about it. But yeah, so they have their individual time, and I wanted to get your take on Michelle telling Brandon that she was in love with him on this.
I don't love the move.
Mm-hmm.
And the way she explained it in the after the final rose, it does make sense to me, where she's like, if I would have known in the moment like that. And but I feel like she did know. Yeah. And I feel like it's not super kind. But she was like, well, I just like I needed you to know, like that was where I was at in the relationship. But it just it feels like it's I just don't love Leeds saying it before. Mm-hmm. That final moment, because it's just setting that person up to be mm-hmm. like very devastated.
Yeah, because you could tell once she said it, like his face, like you had that, like, and then we heard him say, like, then he was just like so sure. And so maybe if you say like, okay, I mean, I love you, but I'm at that place with someone else too. Like, you almost have to like tell yeah. them. And I was wondering if it was like really like pressured for her to do that because she had already said it to Nate. And it was like, okay, there'd be no like doubt when you're watching, even though it seemed like from, it was hard to have any doubt that it could be anyone other than Nate, just based on how she would describe like their interactions, like,
mm-hmm.
but yeah, it felt like they were trying to get Brandon to the same level. And yeah, it did feel, it was interesting to me that she explained it to him, even though he didn't quite ask her, like, why did you say, you know, were you in love with me or, you know, but yeah, it made sense that she was like, I don't want to hold it in. Like, that's like my authentic feelings and want you to know that that's how I felt. And that wasn't like, just something I said.
Yeah, it still just feels a little like rubbing salt in the wounds a little bit.
Mm-hmm. We haven't seen a lot of gifts lately on these shows, which was kind of a traditional thing before. Like there, everyone, and like maybe even the fantasy suites, but definitely final two would have some sort of gift that they would present, like frame, pictures, scrapbook, something like that. And Brandon brings us back to this tradition and gives her his sweatshirt.
I think this is cute. Okay. The sweatshirt that they wore at the end of their fantasy suite date. I think it's cute enough. I do like the gift. She was like thrilled by it.
Yeah. It's reminding me that she had given Matt James jerseys that she had, right. And that was kind of like right before he broke up with her.
Right.
So, one thing that stood out to me when they were like, this was, I think around the same time in the scene, the question she was asking him gave me like warning signs where she was like, so what has been your favorite part? It was kind of like reflecting back, you know, instead of like, you think, like,
what are we going to do?
The future. Yeah. Like, oh, where do you see it living? Or, you know, what would your, you know, like not really like, lovey dovey, but more just like, yeah, what was your favorite part of this journey? Like looking back. And so it's almost like having that reminiscing time because you know you're going to say goodbye to somebody. Let's see. Well, they did go jet skiing as well at some point. So they did have another like activity. Oh,
yeah, the activity. Who could forget?
Yeah. All right. And then, as mentioned, Nate's final date was going to see a shaman doing a, like, getting blessings and kind of talking through any, like, getting releasing blockages and ahead of, like, a potential engagement. So it seemed like Michelle was taking this more seriously than Nate, but again, like a little bit more of a closer, more intimate activity than jet skiing.
Yeah.
So that could have clued us in, I suppose, too.
Yeah, like they didn't even share a jet ski.
Right. Good point. Yeah. So the more activities that, like, are you more separated? You're on your own vehicle. Yeah. Did you think that, or were you surprised that Michelle didn't end things with Brandon in another way?
Yeah. Like, again, we're just bringing him like too close to the sun.
Yeah. It's too much, like, to make him go see Neil Lane.
Yeah. Just like, I mean, I don't know. It's just like, why are we doing this to the poor guy?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So we see both of the guys. She comes back from her date with Nate. Feels way more reassured. I think he was finally able to, like, express to her that, you know, that he, like, he kind of says, like, well, I know, like, I didn't express myself very well to your parents. Like, I just said it would suck if, you know, things ended and stuff.
And, like, I think he's good at reflecting and being like, okay, that wasn't like the best thing to say in the moment, but he can't quite get there in the moment.
Yeah, he really just needed to say, like, I would be heartbroken, but he didn't think of that phrase, you know. So, like, no, he expresses it to her that it would, and that he just really, like, didn't expect to fall in love on the show. He only brought two suits, and that really seemed to, like, get to her, that she was like, okay, I can tell that he, you know, is feeling the same way about me as I am with him. And yeah, she comes back and is like, this is what I've wanted. And we hear her say, like, my heart is telling me this is my person. So again, it's like, okay, the voiceover, you just don't really have a doubt. And then there's this letter at her door to Michelle. And I thought it was kind of telling that we didn't see, like, a ton of reaction to her with this letter. She just kind of looks around, sits down, reads it. We have the voiceover of Brandon, like, I will love you forever. I'll always put you above me. And I think that's really what his parents picked up on. Probably, you know, if it's your daughter, you're going to get, like, really be like, well, I want the guy that's, like, everything for Michelle, you know, like, everything, above for her. But it doesn't seem like, I don't know, we get, like, a voiceover of her, like, I would be happy with either one. Like, these are great guys, but it wasn't like, oh, now I'm really doubting myself after getting this letter, or, like, you know, it was just sort of like, she looked over it at that point, like, I'm just going to sit here, read it, but she wasn't, like, crying or so. So then we have both men visiting Neil Lane. Neil Lane gets a trip to Mexico. He's back.
Back in business.
Yes. And yeah, I didn't get a great shot of either ring. I don't know.
I feel like we didn't do a close up really. Like I feel like Nate said his mandated, it's a pair cut or whatever it was.
Yeah.
But not much other than that.
Yeah. So they each seem to pick one out, and we have our proposal scene down on the beach. Terrible audio.
Oh my gosh. Like, who is sound engineering this episode? They are not getting an Emmy.
No, definitely not. I also thought when, so we see like the, both guys, for a split second, I was like, oh, I had like a, because they showed Nate first, like in the car.
Oh,
and so like right. It got me for a split second. I was like, oh my gosh, they're showing Nate first. But no, it's wait until you see the feet. That's when you know who is arriving first. So Brandon arrives and it's like clear because they have different color suits and just like different like body types that it's like, Brandon getting out. Sometimes like you don't know, like they'll show the feet and you still don't know. Mm-hmm. But I also thought like Caitlin kind of gave it away to me, where like if I was Brandon, but you're in that moment, you're not gonna know. But
no, but they both look very somber.
Yes. Yeah. Taysha was able to pick it up and be like, okay, good luck. But I would hate to be in that position, like knowing it's like, because I guess they didn't have to do that before, right? With Katie. Mm-mm. So because only Blake was left, so you only have like the celebration. So yeah, it would break my heart to be like, okay, go like lead you to the slaughter. Good luck. And he goes down, and we find out at after the final rose that he knew when he saw her, because she gives it away in her eyes, and yeah, she looked so serious, right? Like she just looked like it was killing her to have to do that.
Yeah. And like, I'm glad that Brandon can kind of pick up on that. And like, I feel like his speech was a little apprehensive because of it.
Yeah. Like, it's probably better. Like, I'm so glad she didn't fake him out. You know, it's bad enough. And this was probably the most devastating breakup. I've seen people compare it to maybe Blake on Becca's season. He was really broken up about it and like just like crying, sobbing. But this one was so like the connection between the two of them and like how hurt like they both were.
Yeah, like he was so in love with her.
Mm-hmm. And yeah, like it's just like they couldn't say goodbye. So so you really do like feel that she did see him as like a best friend and she was like into him and could see a life with him. It just wasn't like her final choice. But yeah, that was just rough to watch. Like when they walked away, like through like this, this rocky area.
It
like,
was so tough.
And yeah, really, really tough. And then he like is halfway up the stairs and looks back at her and he's just like,
oh, God, I hated it. Yeah. And then he just stood there and cried for a bit. Oh, it was so bad. It was so bad.
I know. Yeah, and he doesn't even see, like, Caitlin and Tayshia again to, like, get any comfort. It's like he was led to some other area, and they just get his reaction.
Yeah, and Caitlin just, like, takes a picture of him from afar.
Yes. Did she actually take that, or was it a producer being like, yeah, just say that you captured this?
Yeah, like, wasn't she out celebrating?
Right. So, maybe it was later. Yeah, because that would have been maybe that same day. Maybe it was the next morning. I don't know, it was either sunset, sunrise. But she was able to like pull herself back together. So Michelle was very emotional and Nate arrives and yeah, he proposes. I don't like have anything just too memorable from this proposal, but she did kind of do a little fake out, right? Like she said the butt like in a positive way, I think, to kind of like, you saw like a little nervousness on his face for a minute. Yeah. I don't know. Like it was a cute proposal. I'm really happy for them, but I don't have like any like memorable.
No, I don't like in.
Wasn't overly like
mushy or lovey or emotional. Not like
Zach and Tayshia's. Zach and Tayshia's was very emotional, I feel like.
Yeah. Yeah, so. And like Caitlin at one point was like, this was so beautiful. I'm like, was it? Like, I'm very happy for them.
Right.
Like, I hope they stay together forever. But it was like not one of the most like poignant.
Yeah. Because I think it was like once he got that confirmation, it was like he was just down on one knee right then. It was like, yeah, okay, it's yeah. me. Good. So, but yeah, that would be very nerve wracking. So I can't like fault him for that. And then, oh, they had the mariachi band show up again. So,
I mean, of course, why wouldn't
they? Yeah, might as well like make use of that. And we have our happy couple. She calls him the soul Nate instead of soul mate. So they've got a lot of puns with his name throughout the season, I feel like. And then we get to right away to the after the final rose.
Yeah, we just jump right on into it.
Mm-hmm. And right away with Brandon. And I've seen everyone commenting, like, why is Brandon not, why was he not selected as the bachelor? Like, they got everything you would need from a second place, the runner up, like, truly heartbroken. This is like who you would go to. So any other thoughts on why they would have to choose Clayton?
I just, no, like, I have no thoughts. Like, I have no thoughts. I've expressed all of my thoughts and I still can't understand.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. The only other thing I heard was on the Chatty Broads podcast, they were like, maybe it was like way too short of a turnaround that he'd be so heartbroken. That's like,
that's very possible.
That's, I would love to think that they're taking that into account. And not, yeah, just like, we have to have Clayton.
Was there pre-production like happening while Michelle's season was still filming, and that's why they had to go with like a sixth placer?
Yeah, maybe. Maybe it was already like, yeah, they're like, we have to like figure out where we're doing the initial filming. We have to like get these passports ready. I don't know. Yeah. But yeah, I guess they would have already had that done with somebody. So yeah, interesting. And interesting that like it seems like that second bachelor season isn't happening, because I feel like there would be like some momentum for sure for Brandon right now for that next season that I think was supposed to film in February. So that would have been enough time for him to, you know, he's doing better now, fortunately. Let's see, anything that stood out about Brandon's time with Caitlin or the time with when Michelle came out?
Nothing in particular. I just thought he came off super well, super mature, super like loving and caring. And, you know, I like the way that he was asked, you know, are you still in love? And he's like, I don't think it's appropriate for me to like have feelings in that way for her anymore. I just thought he came off super like classy and great. And, you know, they still have like an obvious mutual adoration for each other.
Hmm. Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, just talked about how he kind of leans on his support system, was grateful for them. And yeah, that he really had no, it was interesting, like he had no doubts going in that it would be him. Like he was so sure. So that's tough. Like, and then
I mean, she led him to believe it was him.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, okay, I'm going to say, drop the I love you like the day before. Yeah. Yeah. If that was me, I'd be like, okay, that's my sign that like I can be comfortable. Yeah,
I can chill out. It was like JoJo all over again.
Yeah, totally. Yeah. What did Ben Higgins start? Because now the producers are like, we have to get this all the time. It's just like the new normal. Yeah. I miss when it was like, you just never say it. So, and then, yes, yeah, Caitlin shares that shot of Brandon on the beach crying, looking at the sunset. And yeah, that would like cause me like endless stress if someone's like, well, I took this photo of you. You didn't,
I'd be like,
know.
Oh God. No, but I love the way he turned it around, which is like, yeah, like it was a very moment of like being shown that there is something more for me. And, you know, yeah. I like that perspective on it.
Yeah. Yeah. It probably is cool for him now to like have that. I think he actually shared it on his Instagram that like, to have someone that captured that, like, I'm surviving, like, I'll make it through, like, I can still enjoy a sunset. It's kind of like took me back to like what you hear survivor players say or something. Like, they're just like, oh, this has been so like challenging, or like when they're on the edge of extinction and they're like, okay, but I can still get up and enjoy the sunset. Like, I'm out of the game, but and then yeah, we have Michelle out there telling like that she did mean it when she said she was in love with him, and that she was it was really hard for her to admit that she was in love with two people because she didn't want to be judged for that, because she just was said like, that's not going to be me. And it reminded me when like Brie and Serena showed up and she was like saying like, I swear I wouldn't be that person that was in love with multiple people, and it is me. So yeah. So I guess that's what the show does to you. And yeah, he still is like grateful for the experience. And yeah, it kind of cut off a little short. Like, I think they were just like live TV time wise. Like, I don't know if there's like a ton of like closure, but just that like, it's good to see that he's doing better and that they were able to, you know, have that moment. And then we have Nate and Michelle out next. And this was really cute.
Yeah, they're great together. I'm really excited for them.
Yeah, I was much more reassured from like how they're doing now. And I liked how Michelle like brought up, and I guess we hear this all the time, that it's like so hard to watch the show back. Like, we hear that all the time, but like the way she phrased it like made a lot more sense to me, like where it's like you're also like so much further along in your relationship at that point, like you're more secure, at least if they were a good match. Like, not every bachelorette couple is a good match, but if they are, they're going to be like more solid from like their happy couple visits and like moving forward, that then you're like taken back to like that initial phase of the relationship and being like, wait a minute, should I be so secure? Like, are we good? Because you don't have to think about that that whole time, and you're just like focused on like, oh, I had a great experience. And you're not, especially with Nate, he said he wasn't thinking about it at all, so to have to see it later on. And then Nate talks about like how she's like his favorite song, and that he realized like, oh, like, no, this is like what I want. And I thought that was a cute analogy.
Yeah,
made sense. So
I think so, yeah.
And we find out that he is definitely moving to Minnesota, he said, like in the next couple months. So he's really solid in that decision, it seemed like, too.
Yeah, he said his family is in Winnipeg and it's a shorter distance, so he was quite thrilled about it, it seemed like.
Yeah, I could see maybe his mom was like, wait, this is a great decision, like I'm gonna like be on the side with LaVon and Ephraim and just like, yeah, like move to Minnesota, perfect, because it isn't that far. And I wasn't sure if they were still in Winnipeg based on I feel like I didn't get a good story on that, but
it didn't seem like it, but I guess I get from the family visit, but I guess they are. Mm-hmm. And I loved that Michelle's mom and Nate's mom are like,
oh, no. And that they were in that the audience really there.
Sweet. Yeah.
Because I don't know, I wouldn't have necessarily expected that they would have flown them out either for this, just in the new protocols. So,
yeah,
that was really cute. Why were Becca and Thomas and Serena and Joe there? There was nothing to promote.
What a waste of time. Even if we just went like, they're here, it's like, I don't care.
Right. It was mentioned a couple times.
Over them.
Becca's hosting that tour, but they didn't even mention that. So again, it's like,
yeah, probably because it's a little up in the air right now.
This is maybe a deja vu again. Yes. Maybe that's why she was there. And then it's like, oh.
Let's not mention it right this time. Let's not mention it.
So then Polly Claus, so he's like the, what's his role actually, besides like wheeling the suitcases out?
I don't, like produce, like bodyguard, producer, security. Like
anything, yeah. So he was dressed as Santa, he was the one doing the interstitials from different movie scenes, and he brings out a gingerbread house. They're like, we have one more surprise for you. And at first I'm like, oh, they're just getting them a gingerbread house. Like, I was getting really upset. I'm like, oh, don't act like you're giving them a trip somewhere, you know? And then, but they gave them $200,000 for a down payment. I'm like, can you just buy a house?
Like, yeah. Well, and the thing is, like if they said they were moving to LA, would they still be getting that money? Or they're like, well, 200 grand in Minnesota can get you pretty darn far. Let's do that.
Yeah, for sure. So, yeah, she, like, her reaction, like, she was totally shocked. And so that was really cool, because I can't remember, like, anyone getting, I'm sure there was, like, a trip, like, you're getting a honeymoon back to where you
were. Yeah, people used to get trips a lot, but not, like, an actual money for a house, which I feel like is honestly a lot better. As much as I love trips, it's like, they're giving you an investment, which is nice.
Yeah. Yeah. Kitty and Blake didn't get anything.
They're like, we know this isn't lasting. Let's just move
right,
on here.
Right. So, yeah. So that was probably the most Christmassy, the true like holiday spirit type thing where it was like a great feel good moment. All right. We have to talk about Clayton segment. This was so odd.
So odd. Why are we reading mean tweets about Clayton? And he was like, I'm cool. I can take it on the shoulder. But he was like, probably like, oh, this hurts.
I know. Like when he was reading it, I felt like his voice was quivering a little bit. Some of them, like he read it. I was like, oh, I don't really want to say that.
Poor guy.
They weren't even like, they were like mean ones. They weren't like,
yeah, they weren't funny at all.
Maybe the Shrek one would be the only one that would be like, oh, that's just ridiculous and funny. But we're just like, I just puked in my mouth because he was named the Bachelor.
Yeah,
or I wanted to be this person instead. Yeah, I think it would have been funny enough to just like have Caitlin say that line, like, well, let's get to know him because like nobody does right now. You know, sort of poke fun at their show for not featuring him or, you know, and like maybe explain a little more why they chose him. But it's weird too because she's not, like, she didn't just film a season with him. Like, she's not the host. So. Yeah. I guess, yeah, what is it for her to just like, let's just roast this guy?
I don't. Yeah, this was all weird. It was weird.
Yeah.
And then they just showed us the preview with somehow more spoilers than before.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. What do you think? What are you feeling for our draft, Haley?
If I'm being honest with you, I don't want to do it.
Yeah. Because I feel like we just alternate. Here's someone I saw in that preview at the end. Okay, now I'll draft the next person I saw in that preview. It's not based on anything else. So
it's like they heard us be like, well, maybe we didn't see everyone. They're like, watch it again and see everyone.
Right. Yeah. So what I was able to pick apart from this preview, it showed a little more. So they show him at the rose ceremony saying, like, the last time we saw this preview, it was like, I was intimate with both of you. But this time we see him say, I loved her and I was in love with her and I'm in love with both of you. And I was intimate, like basically like talking about the person that just said goodbye to, I'm thinking, because there's two roses there.
Yeah. Like, and I actually have peed in that building.
Oh, really? Is this in Toronto?
No, that's in Iceland. Oh, right in downtown Reykjavik. It's I do remember.
Because we saw them go to like bathrooms there.
And because I have a very small bladder. Yeah. Not that one. I went to like a multi stall.
Oh, okay. Yeah, not the upper level.
Yeah.
Interesting. So maybe there'll be like multiple places you've peed on this season.
You know what? Probably, actually, now that we're looking into things,
because
it looked like they're in the distillery district in Toronto, and there's a bathroom there that I've used. CN Tower, I've definitely peed in that bathroom. Niagara Falls, I did an event down by the falls, and there was a bathroom trailer, so I've peed pretty close to the falls.
Multiple out of context account tweets are coming from this conversation.
Yeah, this is probably like the most scandalous thing I've said on this podcast, was like talking about my big bladder, my tiny, tiny bladder.
Yeah. So yeah, we get that segment with Clayton. I think they could have done something different. Like maybe read one or two funny, like mixed reactions or something. And that, or do like some kind of bit, like do like a, like pull the audience. Like, do you think this is true about him or this is true? Cause nobody knows him. And like, let's get to know him a little more or something. I don't know.
Yeah. Instead they just like roasted the lead that they want us to like.
Right. Like makes people like maybe dig in a little more. Like, yeah, this is a ridiculous choice. But we will be watching. So. Whether we want to or not, we will. Let's see. We had people on Twitter wanting us to talk about the news about Haley Stevens and Patrick Brown. So we did cover that. But we also have a question from the RJP Out of Context account. We forgot to mention that. So they say, hey, HStrong underscore and RJP recapper, what are the odds of Brandon having to pay for that ring that he launched into the ocean? Okay, did you catch this? I wanted to know, like, did he throw a ring and why weren't we showing
more of
that?
There's no way. There's just no way he threw a ring in the ocean. Like, he doesn't have the $100,000 to pay for that. There's no way.
Like, did they give him, like,
he found actually, a rock.
It's a fake
it's
ring.
It's just a rock.
Okay, yeah.
They just wanted it to look like he threw the ring into the ocean. He definitely did
move.
Not.
I would have loved that. Yeah. Like, well, you know, it's like donated anyway, right? Can we just throw it? But yeah. Yeah, they would have zoomed in on him holding it. They would have been like, oh, wait, can we let him do this? No?
Okay. Yeah.
But it did make me think, like, we don't usually see, like, what do they do with that? Like, I would like to see them, like, hand it back. I guess I don't need this anymore.
Well, yeah, like, does Michelle go, hey, also, before you leave, can I just grab better. That ring in your pocket?
Right, yeah. Can I just compare? Because if I like that one better, yeah. I'll swap it out. Yeah. Yeah, I think that would be a bad look if you're like, oh, I like the one that the other guy picked out. But so we didn't even get to really see which one he picked out. But, yes, that would have been funny, though. All right. Did we get any other questions?
Yes. I do believe I sent them to you.
All right. I'll pull them up. But before then, looks like George has the final draft results are in, but no shocking twists. Asia Like Asia wins with 245 points.
My God.
So
what a blowout.
100 points more than me in second with 146.
Okay. And then what was my score?
And then you were 66 in third. Yeah. He says, I checked. 66 isn't an all-time low and 245 isn't the most points ever scored. Okay. Details available upon request. So follow at GeorgeCTV to get all those details. I'm surprised at both of those things. I think I probably got like 47 one season. So, oh my goodness. Yes. And then SJ Wolves on Twitter says, I'm fairly certain the preview for Clayton season does spoil everything after seeing again on After the Final Rose. The mean tweets thing they did to Clayton, if they did that to Michelle, nobody would think it was funny, so they shouldn't do it to Clayton either.
I mean, I still didn't think it was funny.
Right.
Don't get me wrong. It wasn't funny.
Yeah. Yeah, they didn't pick the funniest tweets. is that them trying to be like, oh, we see the criticism, but yeah, we're still, I don't know, a strange choice. All right. George also has an email for us. He says, what was with the background sounds, especially during the proposals? There were multiple times I could barely hear what they were saying. I've seen them do this to emphasize the awkwardness of a conversation, but they got a little carried away tonight. And would you ever agree to read on your podcast negative comments people have made about your podcast? Was that
absolutely
really
not
necessary for Clayton to do? Finally, do you feel Clayton's season will be the most dramatic season ever? And will it end in an engagement?
I do think it's going to end in engagement. It might be the most dramatic season of all time.
Yeah. Yeah, I think it will end in an engagement, but it's like they're not going to be happy about what he pulled at that ceremony.
No.
Yeah, the sounds. I mean, I think I just had default like captions on anyway. I don't know if the show actually put them on, but they definitely needed to.
No, they did not have the captions on, and it was they should have.
Yeah. Geneva, who has been on the pod, says, talk about that $200,000 down payment on that future home for Nate and Michelle and how the show once again edited us to like the final two more than the final one. I get drama is a thing for the show, but they need to tell the love story for the final one better, e.g. Rachel and Brian / Peter K. I did think of them when with this one. It was like certain seasons, it seems like they always want you to like or even think that the final two is the right choice.
Mm-hmm.
Also, thoughts on Caitlin's photo of Brandon on the beach and her reading out the mean tweets and criticism about Clayton being cast as the Bachelor. Yes, should she have gotten his permission to share that photo?
I mean, maybe. I don't know. It's like his face isn't in it, so it could have been anyone else, but I don't know.
But weirdly, you can like tell it's him.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, the $200,000, that is, get a nice house. You're putting all on a down payment. Yeah. I think, do you think it was like, okay, this is a couple we really want to invest in, or we can tell like this one's going to go the distance, or you want to do something for the holiday?
I don't know the motivation. I really don't understand it, but I'm like happy for them.
Right.
It just seems so out of left field.
Yeah, it wasn't like from like a sponsor, like
no,
like this mortgage company or something, you know?
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's really interesting about the editing for the final two, final one. I feel like in other seasons, it's almost like you don't even see the final one as being like the lead being as in love with them. So at least I think this time we could see how into each other Nate and Michelle were. It was just more like, oh, are these some red flags? Like, is he like not really in it for the long haul? And we know that Brandon is. But like, whereas with like Rachel and Brian, she'll talk about like people didn't even see the love story at all. They're just like,
yeah,
where did this come from? Like, it's, she's definitely in love with Peter. And we hear Desiree talk about that as well. Like, oh, Desiree, like she was only into Brooks and like, I guess she just settled for Chris, you know? So I guess I get why they do it to like have that kind of, you're invested in this other person who might be the bachelor. But yeah, they didn't give us that this time.
No, they sure didn't.
Let's see. Josh Creek, just for the effect, make sure you have the sound of the crashing waves playing as you read the questions this week. Oh, should have got a sound machine out. Oh, yeah, it was very Paradise-esque. I feel like that happens on Paradise, but they don't have as much of a budget. Taylor Downs, do you think she should have chosen Brandon? In my opinion, he was much more able to support and love her in the way she says she needs.
I don't know. I think she made the right choice for herself. I don't know. I do think Brandon was like kind of the epitome of what it was she said she wanted. But it's sometimes just hard to deny what you're feeling.
Yeah, I could almost see on like old school Bachelor, like I feel like I don't know, it would almost take me back to like Trista and Ryan, like at the time, like the show made it seem like she was way more into the other guy and like was really attracted to him, and you're like, oh, she just chose like the guy who's so into her and is writing her poems and stuff, and like maybe it wasn't her first choice, but like again, it was like all editing, like she's like, no, it was always Ryan. So yeah, I think this might have been more editing too, that it was like it was always Nate, but you know, like,
well, like yeah, like he was her amazing first impression rose, like he was the first one out of the limo, he was in the wifey spot, like
yeah,
I mean it's hard to deny, right?
Sarah Noor, Brandon got such a glowing edit for a runner-up, do you think they're setting him up to be the next Bachelor, so after Clayton could they hang on to Brandon?
I mean, maybe, but also he's just like a good dude, and it's like they were just editing him like a good dude.
Yeah. It seems like everyone, I mean, this cast seemed like, aside from those random villains that they had, like they all really got along. They all really like each other. They're all supporting Clayton too. So, yeah, it doesn't seem like anyone would have a bad word ever to say about Brandon or Rodney or Joe or Nate. So, yeah, I would like to see it, but I don't know that, like, I could see him going on Paradise before that. Like, if they're not going to do another Bachelor season. So, Will Harrington, when was the last time everyone involved in the finale came out looking this good? I feel like everyone came out of it relatively unscathed. Nate and Michelle seem happy and so in love. Brandon responded very maturely and also came off well. Yeah, that's true. Because a lot of times there's like a really awkward interaction mm-hmm. with the runner-up. Mm-hmm. They're still holding on to something. They're angry about something. So I'm trying to think of one in recent memory. I mean, Katie's season, I guess, like, well, there was Greg there, but he wasn't a runner-up. Like, Justin and Katie were fine.
Yeah. Yeah. Katie was like, who are you to Justin? Yeah. He was like final two by default, that poor guy.
Yeah. Yeah, I can't really think of another one. Usually the move is like, oh, now that I have seen it back, like, I can tell it. Like, this was the right choice. Like, their relationship was, like, further along or something. We didn't get anything like that. It was more just, like, just very mature and still wanting her to be happy. And, yeah. All right. That is it for questions. Did Doug finish up the finale and have any takes?
He did. Let me just pull those up. Would you rather have Ethan give your dad a bathing suit for Christmas or have to kiss him while the rest of the audience safely masks up on national television? Oh God, maybe kiss on national television. Maybe my dad a swimsuit sounds awful.
Oh, that's kind of a weird gift now that I think about it.
Yeah. Why was this episode given a holiday theme? Like, actually, though, aside from Polly, what the F did this have to do with the holidays? If anything, it should have been COVID themed. I think we have enough of COVID themed things. How tragic is it that fans of the show can instantly mask a studio audience, but we can't have any sort of say in who the lead of the show was?
There's the tweet. That's so true.
Are we to believe that the show is against bullying when they also have the unpopular lead read malicious tweets about himself live on air? Should I be more confused by the fact that only good thing Neil Lane could say about Nate was that he was tall, or that Nate clearly had an ABC intern write his proposal?
Oh, no.
Did Brandon's great letter make up for his very dangerous jet ski driving?
I didn't even pick up on that. You know, we tune out for those activities.
Hard pass. A down payment on a house? Are you effing kidding me? It seems like they realized with all the money they saved on Katie's terrible season, they had a budget surplus and they had to put it somewhere.
Yeah. We have to spend this. We said we allotted this. This was her promo budget we didn't use.
Yeah, really. Real talk. How much money was it? Was in that house, and was it a part of the cryptocurrency scheme related to Ryle the Shaman? Yeah, and then that's it from Doug for the season. That's it. That's it from us for the season. Holy, can you believe it? It doesn't feel like we did another season, does it?
No. Yeah, and it feels like there should be a lot more time left in this year. It doesn't feel like Christmas should be 2 days away. But here we are, because this was an odd extra season, bonus season, but the better of the two Bachelorette seasons, I would say.
Definitely.
Have
more satisfying hopes. Ending, that's for sure.
Yeah, definitely. But yeah, Doug's take made me think now, okay, with them having Clayton read these mean tweets, is this a sign that they are not happy with his season? They're just like, whatever.
Oh, like, interesting.
We'll just like throw you to the wolves.
Yikes. That's
maybe
not great.
It doesn't have a good ending.
I don't love that if that's the case.
Because that's what people kind of speculated with like Katie's promo. They're like, well, we don't really like the way the season was handled. And so we're not going to like put her in a good light or something.
Yeah, I don't know.
Well, so how are you feeling about the upcoming, when is the premiere? The 4th? 6th?
3rd?
Something like that. Whatever that Monday
yeah, the
is,
third,
it's right away.
The third,
right?
I think.
Third.
I think it's the okay. third.
Early one.
I don't know. I don't know how to feel yet.
Yeah, there'll be a lot to look out for, I guess, that it's like gonna be a new host, a bachelor we don't know, and traveling again. So maybe it'll take us back to the old days and a little bit of escapism, a time when it's feeling we might want that. So yeah, we will be here and responding to your questions, and just maybe not a draft this time around, especially we have such a quick turnaround and it's the holidays as well. So
yeah, I just can't bring myself to. I'm really sorry. I just can't.
Yeah. Maybe we can do like little bets before each next episode, little maybe. Predictions or something. So send us ideas. All right. Haley, where can people find you?
You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at @hstrong_. You can check out everything I'm reading at The Strong Library. Follow me on Twitch, twitch.tv/HaleyStrong. Maybe I'll do something over there. We'll see.
All right. How did your decorating go?
You know, it went a lot better than I expected, nice. Shockingly. Nice. You can check out the finished cake on my Instagram at @hstrong_.
And you can find me on Twitter at RHAPRecapper. Until a couple weeks from now. Bye.
Bye.